KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, February 12th, 2026. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram pages. Today, Tlingit Haida's ambassador program works in collaboration with the Forest Service personnel out at the Mendenhall Glacier to share Tlingit history, culture, and language with tourists throughout the summer. This year, they are also adding a safety ambassador as well. We'll talk with members of the team as they ramp up for summer 2026. Nimi from Spice Juno is here to share about this weekend's Five Hearts on Franklin event for Valentine's Day, as well as to look ahead to the 5th Annual Holi Festival Juno celebration happening in March. And you can go full camp this weekend with Wearable Art, the biannual fundraiser from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. We'll chat with MC Gigi Monroe, artist model Stephanie Davis, and from the Jack Spencer Edgars. Those conversations are coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
It's nice to be recognized for what we know, but please don't just throw us a bone. We are connected to complete systems. We feed ourselves from our home. Our knowledge, it comes from completeness, the completeness of being on the land, a land that has not yet been broken at the hands of greedy humans.
That right there is from the new album from Sunny Porch, local band. They're having a folk revival and release party tomorrow, Friday the 13th, at the Crystal Saloon at 5 p.m. That song is called Tech or Traditional Ecological Knowledge. You can check out that album. It's on the streaming platforms. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. Tlingit Haida's Cultural Ambassador Program is gearing up for the 2026 summer season. Working in partnership with the Forest Service personnel at the Mendenhall Glacier Recreation Area, the Cultural Ambassadors share Tlingit history, culture, and language with visitors from around the world. And new this year, they are adding a safety ambassador to monitor bear activity, safety protocols, and safe coexistence between humans and wildlife. Recruitment is now on with training set for early March. And here to share more about these programs in the studio here with me now are Jeremy Timothy, who is the Tlingit and Haida and Cultural Ambassador Manager, and then Liana Wallace, who is a Tlingit and Haida Cultural Ambassador herself. And we're going to learn all about what you did last summer and then how your role has morphed over this last year. But Gunith Cheese Shot Yeadi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both here. Wasiti, how are you, Jeremy?
Just a little bit. I'm doing pretty good. I got a little head cold going on, but
other than
that, I'm doing really good.
It's that transition time, right? From winter to spring a little bit. We're all getting a little bit of that, you know. It's cold today, too. It's windy. It's cold.
So, I mean, it's looking outside. I'm like, it feels like a low pressure came in and got me congested a little bit, but... I still wanted to be here to be able to talk about the program.
Please, I'm happy you're here. And Layana Wasiyiti, how are you today?
I'm doing really good.
Awesome. That's excellent. So let me start with you, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. Tell me just a little bit, an overview of what the Cultural Ambassador Program is. I mentioned a little bit about what it is in the intro, but go into a little bit more detail for us.
Yeah, so what's great about the program and what we do is... The Tlingit people has been on this land since time immemorial. And when the Forest Service built the visitor center out there in 1962, we didn't have a lot of representation out there. Mm. You know, you really didn't see any form line. You didn't see anything along that scope of, you know, stuff. And, you know, just recently we started this Culture Ambassador Program, and that allows us to co-steward the area out there to where we can start bringing out our stories, our language, our culture, our history, and be able to talk about that with people and to share it. And like you said earlier, we talk to people all over the world.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating, the people, and they're just... the range of knowledge you get that comes through the visitor center and just talking and, you know, being able to share our history with them. You know, and we're also doing other things out there. We want to start upgrading some of the signs to where they had the Tlingit language on there. You know, we were looking at bringing out canoes. We brought a little totem
coming
out there. You know, and so we're bringing the culture back to the land out there, and that's what the program is meant to do. I would like it to turn into eventually a culture center out there where, you know, people feel free to come out and maybe want to do dance practice and singing and stuff like that, where, you know, it's a welcoming place for everybody, and I think we're doing a great job of expanding and getting that going in. We do have a lot of support from the Forest Service, and so that's one of the great things about this is the way that, you know, traditionally we have the Eagles and the Ravens, and we support each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially in times of sorrow, you have one side of the house and you have the other side of the house, and together, you know, you do form a structure. You know, in this case, it's kind of the same thing. We have Tlingit Haida and we have the Forest Service, and that forms this little house that we have out there. And so we're both working for the same goals of co-stewarding this area out there and making sure that, you know, our voices are being told out there in our history, you know, and it's being done with respect.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the third year of the... third year? Okay. Mm-hmm. And what is your background? How did you get involved in the Cultural Ambassador Program yourself?
I don't know how far back you want to go, but but recently I retired from the military.
Okay.
Right during COVID, and I got stuck in a state that I got really, you know, just nothing was really happening for me. And so, you know, we decided to come back to Alaska. I was missing the culture. I was missing everything, you know, my family. And we decided to make the trek across America. And I found out the job on a ferry ride coming up.
Mm.
And I applied, and, you know, I guess the stars aligned. And, you know, I was able to start off as the culture ambassador supervisor. And then later on kind of morphed into the manager position.
I see.
But it was something I grew up with, you know, since I was a child. During my summers, I would go out to a fish camp.
Right.
You know, there's no running water besides the river. There's no electricity. You know, you're smoking fish. You're learning how to sing, to dance with the elders. And that's something I was brought up on. And so when I heard about this job, I was like, this is a great opportunity for me to get back in my culture and share the knowledge that was given to me to other people.
Did you feel like when you saw it, you're like, that's the job for me. That's the thing I want to do.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And speaking of morphing, Lyanna Wallace.
Yes.
So last summer, lean forward to the microphone a little bit, Lyanna.
Okay.
So you were a culture ambassador last summer. Tell me a little bit about what that looked like on the daily. What did you do every day?
Oh, I would welcome everybody who came ashore and, you know, being raised on a 14, well, actually it was a 42-foot trolling boat.
Oh, wow.
And one of our traditions is always to welcome one another when you come to the harbor. And so we have a special handshake, and we have a special greeting, and fishermen help each other, and they kind of take care of one another. And so for me, being able to share my knowledge of the nature and about land and sea, and also still honor that ambassadorship, kind of ethically, just with respect, inviting people to come in. And so my first thing is just to welcome everybody in and just start telling stories. I love the Trail of Time. And I'll invite you to come walk with me, and I'll tell you the stories about the ancient riverbeds when Duck Creek used to come all the way up to this last moraine that used to be right around here, you know, right at the beginning of Trail of Time. But that was in 1740. But I integrate traditional knowledge with scientific knowledge. And I do it through storytelling and hands-on, touching the trees and looking at the plants and teaching the way that I was taught. And sometimes some of the stories I tell are like in lullaby or for young children. But that's how I first heard the story. And then I would just move on and talk about how everything just kind of still stands today. So like every plant has a growing partner, and no plant ever grows alone. And so like that, for us in the community, we all have each other and we all hold each other up. And so just little stories like that, a little bit of, I don't know, parables. I love storytelling.
That's
and so
awesome.
For me, it was just happy. Just come on in, let's go. And, you know, I have stories to tell. So stories about eagles and bears. And
I'm sure that you had some unique visitors, too. Was there anybody that is memorable in terms of that you met who came from somewhere around the world and was just, like, so engrossed in the culture?
No, everybody was really, really touched. I really love being with people.
Yeah.
And I love it when people came back for a second and third time. In fact, there were people who would follow me around on the trails, and they would meet me at this one area over and over again because they wanted to hear the same story again.
Oh, wow.
But I really love listening to people who've been here before, and then they added their own story to what they saw and what they remembered. So a lot of give and take. And so I can't think of just one. I would have to say there were so many of them.
Every day is a treasure, right?
Yes, every day.
And I know that you are going to be doing some training soon. You're looking for recruits for this summer. You can probably find information on ClinkettandHyda.gov, I'm assuming,
yes.
Right, Jeremy?
Okay. That's correct.
And so for that, Lyanna, when people are thinking about applying, What would you be looking for in somebody who wants to be a recruit?
Someone who just wants to be able to integrate knowledge and be really comfortable with that, I think would be the most important part. We're working with the Forest Service, but we're also just combining ancient knowledge with scientific knowledge of today. Someone who understands and is aware of it, and I think that would be one of my most important conditions, just being comfortable, laughing, enjoying, but also has some really good, strong, I guess, problem solving, just being able to handle situations that just come up, like a bear that's crossing our trail and stops traffic. And it's okay, we're fine, and, you know, and we're going to go out and we're going to talk to the bear, and we're going to tell it thank you for letting us be on your land. And so as someone who speaks a little Tlingit as well, and then just being able to, wanting to know more. So as we go in and we start talking about plants and trees and their names, and then giving the Tlingit names for some of the old streams, and then just being open to history.
Jeremy, do they have to be a Tlingit and Haida tribal member to apply for this position?
They don't.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
So we are trying to keep it somewhat local.
Yeah.
Just it makes it things easier with like housing and stuff. But they don't have to be, and we do like what Leanne is doing, and we're doing training.
Yeah.
You know, and so we will do like cultural sensitivity training. We'll do a little bit of history, language. And that way, you know, we're all on the same page. You know, we'll go through a first aid CPR course because there is safety things since we're working out there with the Forest Service that, you know, we are also looked at as like first responders.
Mm.
You know, it's if someone's out on the trail and has something happen, you know, we're out there. We can help. You
need some well-rounded individuals.
Yes.
Maybe speaks a little Thinkit, as Lyanna said, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so is there a deadline to apply for this?
We don't have a deadline, I guess, until our positions are filled.
Okay.
But, you know, we are always looking out, you know, for potential people to come in.
Okay. And Lyanna, Jeremy was telling me before we went on the air that you did the culture ambassador program last summer, but then you stayed on to sort of do some further work. What is it that you've been doing since last summer?
I've been creating training manuals and also a lot of kits. So more information about the puppets and things for the children's programs and then things that could be set on the trails.
Oh, nice.
And a lot of Tlingit too as well.
Yeah.
Not everybody comes in or feels comfortable with speaking the language. And so just doing some programs like that and just knowing about the traditional ways of knowing and also just communicating, storytelling. So I'm busy. I don't quit. In the morning, I wake up and I'm typing. And then even at the end of the day, it's like, go back and tell, you know, do something else. There's another story to be told.
That's fantastic. Well, your energy is infectious, and I'm sure that's going to be helpful in the training and get people excited about being culture ambassadors out there this summer. And then, Jeremy, I mentioned also that there's going to be a new safety ambassador program or position.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So we found, especially last year, is we had a lot of like volunteers that were out at the visitor center, and we weren't quite sure with who had what training and everything. And so when a situation would come up, either a first aid situation, bear management, which actually is more of a people management situation.
Mm.
You know, the bear's going to go where she wants to go. You know, we want her to go where she wants to go. It's just getting the hordes of people to make sure she's got comfortable distance, especially if she's got her cubs with her.
Mm.
But in situations like that, we wanted to make sure that we have someone in place that we know that has the training that could take the lead.
Mm.
You know, who's making that call about, you know, are we calling EMS for certain situations? You know, and just someone that's going to be the point of contact for basically, like I said, first aid, bear management, something along the lines that are going to walk the trails. If they go out walking a trail and they see a hazard out there, you know, maybe a tripping hazard, some stones came loose. Even when it came to the Glacier Lake outburst flood, you know, the Glof. You know, when at what point is it too dangerous to have people going out on them trails and
sure.
we need to shut the trail down? You know, so having someone that has the ability to make some of these calls and be able to take the lead is what we're looking for.
And are you going to have how many of those safety ambassadors will you be looking for?
Oh, we're looking for one.
Okay, one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they'll be the point of contact. They'll be the lead for that role.
Right, okay. Yeah. And then the cultural ambassadors will talk back and forth with them, just determine what's going on and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
So especially when it comes to like bear management, you know, depending on what ambassadors at what location, who they can pull from where to go and help with that situation, you know, and so they would be able to make that call. It's like, hey, I need to pull this person from this location to go help out with this bear situation because they may cross the road. So now I need road guards to make sure stop traffic so they don't hit the bear.
Yeah.
You know,
there's
things like that, you know, they're going to have to be able to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. Lyanna Wallace, Jeremy Timothy from the Tlingit and Haida Culture Ambassador Program. What a fantastic addition, right? I know this is the third year. But just amazing, and hope that it continues to grow. For more information, you can go to tlingitandhaida.gov or probably put in your favorite search engine, the Tlingit and Haida Culture Ambassador Program. It'll get you right to the right place to apply and everything, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the best way.
ClinkinOhio.gov is going to be the probably the best way because it'll get
hub.
You the main hub to go right to the application.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Gunnath Cheesh, for being here today. I really appreciate it. Fantastic. Okay. We're going to have a story here from Rhonda McBride from KNBA. Those who knew and loved Marlene Johnson say she was in constant motion, either behind the scenes or on the forefront of the major issues that have shaped life for Alaska Natives for more than 60 years. The Thlinkit leader died recently at the age of 90. This is Rhonda McBride's look at her life and legacy. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Here is Marlene Johnson's recipe for leadership in her own words.
Alaska Natives, I don't care where you're from, need to be involved. They need to sit on boards. They need to sit on commissions. They need to go to meetings. They need to be heard.
That was Johnson talking with the late Native journalist Nellie Moore in 2011 on the 40th anniversary of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Today, Anxa remains the largest land claim settlement in the nation's history, one that Johnson helped to steer through Congress.
The Alaska Native perspective needs to be heard, and they need to know that we aren't sitting back there on a stump doing nothing, that we are, just like everybody else. We have a brain and we use it. We have muscles and we use it. And we have respect for each other, and we don't call other people names like they sometimes call us.
The 1960s was a tough time to be an Alaska Native and a woman.
The men had the voice. They were out front. But somehow, Marlene became a voice among all those men. I often wondered, how did she do it?
Back then, Irene Rowan had a front row seat in Washington, D.C. She worked for the federal government and became part of an ANCSA support group called Alaskans on the Potomac.
She was royalty. People looked up to her. She was rich. She was rich with knowledge and with enthusiasm.
Rosita Worrell says Marlene Johnson was one of a kind.
She exemplified what we know and recognize as a leader. And they don't come along very often.
Worrell, who is president of Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, says Johnson had a leadership style all her own, someone always ready to listen, even if she didn't agree.
And I don't think people thought of her as a woman or a man. They just admired her leadership capabilities.
Johnson's granddaughter, Vera Starbard, says this was an amazing accomplishment for a woman who navigated times that were far from being gender and color blind.
She always insisted on being taken seriously, but at the same time, she had to figure out how to maneuver in that world, let her voice be heard when literally some people would not hear it.
Starbard says people forget that Johnson was a single mom who not only raised six kids, but was also a businesswoman. She co-owned a regional air taxi service in her home village of Hoona and became one of the first women to chair a Native corporation, a job she held on Sea Alaska's board for a decade. She also helped to found many of the educational organizations and nonprofits that make up today's social service safety net.
People don't realize how different Alaska would be without her. Certainly Alaska Native lives.
Without ANCSA, we would be back where we were in the early 60s, where discrimination would still be here. I'm a firm believer of that.
In a 2009 interview with researcher Dr. Thomas Thornton, Johnson said Native corporations, with their wealth and resources, helped to change the way Alaska Natives were treated. She recalled her days when her family moved to Juneau in the late 1940s so she could go to high school. Johnson said she and her girlfriends would go out late at night on a mission.
I shouldn't confess doing anything wrong in my life. But a few of us that were considered breeds would go down the street and rip the signs off of the bars, and there's bars all the way up and down South Franklin Street that aren't there now, that said, no coasties, no Indians, or no dogs allowed.
But somewhere along the line, she made the transition from activist to diplomat. Emil Nadi, the first president of the Alaska Federation of Natives, said that she was pivotal in the land claims fight.
It was just part of that age. chauvinism. But she stood on her own, her qualifications. She wasn't put there because she was a woman. She was put there because she was an effective advocate.
Noddy visited Johnson not long before she died, and when he realized her time was nearing its end, he felt a wave of loneliness because there are only about a dozen people, he says, who really know the story of ANCSA.
There are 500 stories. Everybody who was involved has a story. You look at the same event, see it different. So you get all kinds of stories, but in there somewhere is what really happened.
Now, there is one less member in that land claims band of warriors. But Rosita Worrell says Johnson will always be remembered.
The night before she left us, we had just spectacular northern lights. That said to me, those are our warriors ready to embrace this leader in the spirit world.
In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
That was Rhonda McBride with her tribute to Marlene Johnson, the Thlinkit leader that passed a couple weeks ago. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Hanson Gress, ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yitin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakhaya ha anikak, gunish cheesh.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Nimi Phillips joins me in studio now with updates on some upcoming community events happening around downtown, beginning this weekend, tomorrow, with Five Hearts on Franklin, the second year of that, and continuing in March with the fifth annual hosting of the Holy Celebration here in Juno, as well as a couple other things that are going
yes.
on. Gunath Cheesh, Ha'igudi, thank you, Nimi. Welcome in.
Thank
How
you,
are you today?
You. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So let's start with tomorrow.
Yes.
Because it's Valentine's Day weekend,
uh-huh.
and this is the second year of something called Five Hearts on Franklin. What is that?
So Five Hearts on Franklin is the hour block on Franklin Street. So it has Devil's Club, T-Top Tea, Spice, and Robotics and Amalga. So
okay.
What do we do is you go to Devil's Club, have your appetizer, you go to T-Top, get a discount, and then you come to Spice, have dinner, you go to Robotics and take a photo booth or take your photo at the photo booth.
Oh, okay.
And Amalga for nightcap.
Oh, I see.
So
okay.
That's the five. We are the Five Hearts on Franklin.
You're the Five Hearts on Franklin. And,
yeah.
And this is happening on Friday as opposed
Friday,
to Valentine's
13th.
Day.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why is it not on Valentine's? Because maybe not everybody's open.
No, we all have our own specials that we want to do on the Valentine's
Day.
Oh,
I see. Okay.
So we pick the day before so we can all work together into a special. Like we have a theme. This year's theme is mango.
Mango?
Yes.
How did that become the theme?
I think it was I was the child who said that, I think.
Okay, but so how is that being incorporated? Do you know how people are doing that?
We're doing our best because mango is a hard one to get in Juneau, Alaska. But
yeah.
Photo booth will have mango color. I'm making mango chicken. Amalga will have some kind of mango-related drink. And then Devil's Club will be doing some appetizers with some
mango. You know, next year, can I put something in
sure,
your brain
sure.
for next year? I love this time of year, and I know a lot of people in Juneau do, the sumo mandarins. Do you know what those? Those big oranges?
Uh-huh.
They are so good, and they're only available like from January to April or something like that.
I got to try. Is it Costco has it?
Everybody has it.
Oh, okay.
You can get them. And some are a little bit smaller. Like
okay.
Costco has a box of them that you can get, but they're a little bit smaller. But if you go to the other grocery stores, they usually have the bigger ones.
Okay.
And the flavor of these things, my partner Aaron and I, we're addicted to these things. We can't get enough. So I just think it's a perfect time because you do this around this time.
Yeah.
And so many people love them. And
yeah.
they do have color and vibrancy and taste and all the things that would be
okay.
part of that. But I mean, you know,
yeah.
Mangoes are also yummy.
I get mango. We do mango chutney, mango lassi. We do a lot of mango stuff at the restaurant.
Mm.
So to me, mango is not a foreign thing at all. I grew up with mango in the backyard. But
yeah, I guess the mango chutney, right?
Yeah, that's a big one, we do mango, right? Mango lassi, the yogurt drink that we make. So mango is already in our food. So,
I see.
But I think mango is, you have so much options with mango.
I see what you did. You went the low hanging fruit, no pun intended, because you already know what to do with mango.
Yeah, but I work with amazing neighbors. They're more than a family. We work together so well. We put on an amazing evening for locals.
Yeah, it seems like a really good group of people down there in terms of all the businesses in that section and getting together and making things happen. Do you do other events like this throughout the year?
We do. Holy is one of the other ones that Devil's Club usually do a pizza with the holy names. And, you know, we share our curries and they put it on the pizza, or we incorporate some food together.
Amalga
always make me a special drink too with lots of colors and stuff for holy.
Right.
And Devil's Club always have Indian games out there. And so that's another one that we always coordinate and we work together. So.
And then you also, on like you said, on Valentine's Day, like most everyone in town, they're going to have some kind of special.
Our own special,
so
too.
You're doing something special at Spice, right?
Yeah, I am actually cooking Cornish hen stuffed with the cranberry apple rice. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah.
As you can tell.
I can tell.
We already tested, and the recipe is good. But, you know, this is Juneau, Alaska. You can't go to the store and buy Cornish hen the way you want to look.
Right.
It came.
Where did you get them?
It came from through Sysco, Sysco distributor, and it came through Seattle.
I see.
And it came as cut one Cornish hen cut into two pieces already.
Mm.
So I wanted to stuff them. Now it's two pieces. Now I have to figure out how to put it back together.
if you see some sewing lines in there, it's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's, you know, I love the challenge.
And then before Holi, you're going to have a cool wine tasting as well.
We're partnering with the Specialty Imports. That's on February 28th. It's a Taste of France. A Taste of France.
Yeah. All kinds of French wines and stuff.
Yes, and we'll have some, you know, some fruits and cheese and things as snacks. And of course, Specialty will be there.
Before we talk a little bit more about Holi, you can find all the information at spicejuneau.com or probably on Facebook too.
Facebook, Instagram.
I'm sure all the others, like Alaska Robotics, they all have mentions of this stuff as well.
We're all tagged on each other. And I want to go back to Five Hearts on Franklin.
Yeah.
We do have 6 tickets left at Spice, and I know a couple of tickets left at the Devil's Club. Tickets are $80 for 2 people.
And that's to go to all the five places.
Okay. You do need to make a reservation at Spice, because, you know, that's the dinner place, so you do want to make sure you have an hour and a half there.
Oh, okay.
So just you plan your evening, dress up, take photos.
Make it happen.
It's almost sold out already. Almost sold out.
So let's talk about Holi Festival. This has been something, this is the 5th year you're going to be doing it.
Yes.
Remind folks what Holi Festival is.
Holi Festival is Festival of Colors. It's just the reason we throw colors at each other is just the children in us to say that, you know, when you throw the colors at each other, we all look the same.
Mm.
So it, regardless who you are, where you're from, what language you speak, end of the day, we're all happy and childlike.
We're all covered in pink and purple.
And childlike.
And red and whatever other colors.
You know, I do it because I feel so happy to see all the smiling faces and the joy to downtown Juneau. And it brings over 800 people to Franklin Street.
Wow.
We close down the street for 4 hours. We do a set design. We put lights, twinkle lights, across from Baranoff Hotel to Spice.
Mm.
And we prepare all the colors. We have volunteers, all our dancers. We have over 30 dancers who have been rehearsing since January.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're so excited. And last year we made little packets, little plastic containers of 800 little ones, colors to throw.
Mm-hmm.
And we were out of it like within 30 minutes. So that tells me over 800 people came.
Wow. And what is Holi celebrating? What is it?
It celebrates the light over not light over darkness. It's the happiness over evil, or, you know, like just to change the difference between people. Like, we don't have to feel any differences. And this is one time that, you know, if you haven't talked to somebody in a long time, it's time to say, okay, let's, you know, let's play, let's talk, let's forget what went on.
Put bygones be bygones.
Yeah,
and that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah.
And this is it happens at the same time, sort of around the world, right?
Yeah.
It's close as possible.
Close as possible because of the time difference and stuff.
Right,
because
this started in India.
It is a Hindu cultural event.
Okay.
It started in Hindu culture, but now celebrated by, because it brings so much happiness and joy to people, it is celebrated all over the world.
And the other thing that I think that is really cool about this, you told me, I think a couple years ago, is that you get these colors when you go
to India.
Yeah, when you go, you buy all these colors and bring them here.
I usually bring about 15 kilograms to 20 kilograms each year. This last October, I didn't get to go. So our lovely Emily Kane and Evelyn Russo was in Kerala at around my home in India, and they are actually bringing back some of it.
Oh, that's so cool.
It is very cool, and it was very kind of them to do that. And we also improvising this year with some fruit coloring. Because of the tariffs and stuff, there's a lot of stuff that is getting very expensive. Usually, I buy all of these things, and you know, we're going to use some food coloring. This is actually made with food coloring and cornstarch, so we're going to make some in-house as well.
And then if people are wanting to go, and this is on March 23rd. And about 8 o'clock or so?
Yeah, 8 o'clock is the Bollywood dance, and we give it's about 30 minutes of the dance that you can just watch, and then you have 30 minutes to go change into white color clothes, so that you can see what colors you got on.
Right.
You don't want to get your cashmere sweater with the purple color on. It's not coming off.
Get that white t-shirt
something. You know, whatever. Yeah. You know, and make sure you wear white is nice so you can see all the colors.
And that happens at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock sharp. Yeah.
Powder throwing.
And then after that 9 o'clock color throwing, we're gonna do the whole dance one more time in the color. With our participant as guest, whoever want to join us has a chance to join us.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
That's
think it'll
so
be fun.
Cool.
Last year it was raining, pouring down rain, so the color stuck to you so much more. And the street, Franklin Street, was colored for a whole week, and it was so beautiful. People took so many photos and posted.
Oh, that's so cool.
And, yeah.
And that will also be on your Facebook page.
Facebook,
and
Instagram.
All around.
Our website.
What's your Instagram?
It's spice.indian.restaurant, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. So people can follow you there
and
all of these events.
Or stop by. You know, we're right on Franklin Street. You know, we're so happy and excited to talk about it. So
I love that. Nimi Phillips from Spice Juno with all kinds of cool events. Valentine's Day weekend, Five Hearts on Franklin, wine tastings, and of course, the Holi celebration, which is open to the whole community. You can watch the Bollywood dance. If you want to get involved in the dance, you got to get involved earlier.
You got to
get Nimi after Holi and be like, hey, how do I become part of the dancing group?
We have actually 10 new people, 10 or 15 more new people. I'm so proud of them. And we start, it's a three-month rehearsal because only Sundays we get rehearsal time, and we have a hard time finding free places to rehearse.
Sure.
And I'm really thankful to see Alaska Plaza to providing us a space to rehearse, and also Perseverance Theater.
Yeah.
So kind of them.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
It is so much fun.
Well, thank you, Nimi, for catching up with us and all these cool events. You can go to spicejuno.com or find them on the socials and keep up with everything going on. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kahuan Ish George Davis. The word this week is gooch.
Gooch.
That means wolf. And here's a sentence.
Gooch. Ke-ka-wa-kach.
The wolf howled. Let's hear it again.
Gooch.
Wolf. Gunas chish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kahuan Ish, George Davis was Tukdain Tan and the child of a Tsagwedi man. He grew up in Kiik, Cake, Alaska, and learned to speak well because he would always bring traditional foods to the elders there. As someone who fished a lot and spent time on the land, he knew Tlingit place names all over the area, and he learned many stories and advanced ways of speaking.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTIO.
What song can I sing to a cedar who seems to have everything with roots in a place that is paradise to me? Oh, what song can I sing to a cedar who has left everything by going out far beyond their home? Is home, is it inside or outside of you? Think of all the places home can be. What song can I sing to a cedar away from all that they knew by going out beyond their home? You may feel far from your kind, far from the place you think of as home, but you are making a way for those to come. Oh, what song can I sing to a cedar who has put everything into growing new ground for its home?
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That right there is Sunny Porch. They're having a folk revival and release party tomorrow for their new album. This is tomorrow night, Friday the 13th, at the Crystal Saloon at 5 p.m. That album came out not too long ago. You can find it on the various streaming services. Also, I wanted to mention that this February, the Passenger Princess program over on KXLL, our sister station that happens right after Juno Afternoon, they're collaborating with the Black Awareness Association to present The Rhythm of Freedom. You can join co-hosts Christina Michelle and Al Boogie every Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. on KXLL 100.7 or on 101.7 FM as they explore the soundtrack of Black history from spirituals to today with a different guest narrator each week, bringing a new voice and perspective. That's on Passenger Princess. It's called The Rhythm of Freedom. You can catch that on Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. That's very cool. Now, there's other things happening all around town from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, and I have a bunch of people in the studio with me now to talk about all of these things. The big one being Wearable Art Extravaganza is back this Friday, February 14th, and Sunday, February 15th, with the theme Camp! Exclamation point, combining the inspiration of the great outdoors with the spectacle of high camp. And this event brings together fashion, art, and performance. And we're going to chat about some other events coming this weekend as next as well. I'm joined now by Wearable Art MC, Miss Gigi Monroe. Gunachish, wasiti, how are you?
Gunachish for having me.
Of course, excellent to see you. We also have artist model Stephanie Davis. Gunachish, wasiti, how are you?
Hi, good, how are you?
Excellent, happy good. To have you in. Excellent. And then from the Jack, we have Spencer Edgars. Gunachish, wasiti.
Jeez, thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's start with you, Spencer. First, let's get, there's an event tomorrow night, which is really cool, the All Metal all-ages metal concert. Tell me a little bit about this.
Yeah, we're hosting a all-ages metal concert at the Jack tomorrow night, Friday, February 13th. And that's going to be featuring the band Pauses, which is out of Portland, Oregon. So they flew up here to do two shows in Juneau, including this one. It's also featuring Ocean View, which is a really talented local youth metal band.
That's that high school metal band, right?
Yeah.
They're awesome.
So yeah, all ages, you know, bring the whole family. And then of course we've got, you know, local Juno legends, the Bards of Mendenhall.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's really tomorrow fun. Night. Starts at 7.
Yep, and 7 p.m. Doors at 6:30.
Yeah, so go to the Sunny Porch album release and then head over to the Jack and hear some metal. You can get a couple of different kinds of music going for yourself tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the cool Motown show and gospel series that is happening. Tell me a little bit about those shows.
Yep, so that's next week. So the Motown concert is Friday, February 20th at the Jack. And then the gospel celebrations are going to be Sunday, February 22nd. There's a show in the afternoon and the evening.
Okay, excellent. And you can find all this at jahc.org.
That's correct.
All the information and events coming up, and you can get tickets there and see more information about that all. I think the gospel series and the Motown concert, those have been going on for years now.
Yeah, and we're so grateful to be continuing working with the artists that we've been working for that, and we know that it's beloved, and we can't wait to hang out with everyone and hear some great music.
Yeah, and then the other thing that's been going on forever, I don't know what year this is, because it switched to biannual a couple years ago, but the wearable art is happening, and this is the Jack's largest fundraiser.
Yes, it is. It's our largest fundraiser, so the funds we raise through this event go to fund things like our individual artist grants and other programs and also youth fine arts scholarships.
Okay, that's really cool. And so, let me switch over to Gigi here in terms of, you're the MC.
I'm one of the MCs.
One of the MCs.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's multiple MCs.
I'm lucky enough to join Kelsey Riker.
Oh, okay, awesome.
So, yeah.
you both are like the MCs of Juno. That's how I always introduce Kelsey, as like the all-time MC of Juno.
There Kelsey tends Bryce to be Ranger. Like these waves where, you know, you see us out a lot. Like, okay, I guess they're putting in their time this year.
Absolutely. So you two were tasked to do this. Did you help come up with the theme too, or was that a different group of folks?
No, that was a different group of folks.
Okay.
And, you know, the director, Margot, you know, who's directed now for a number of years, reached out and offered us the role once the theme was well established. So, yeah, I was really excited to do this, my first time co-hosting.
So tell me about this theme, Gigi. Like, what is Camp Exclamation Point?
Yeah. It's an interesting theme this year.
Yeah.
It kind of requires a little bit of explanation, and that's fine. But the best explanation I've heard is that it's camp in every possible meaning of the word, right? So we have like the literal, you know, summer camp and camping outdoors and all the things that we love to do here in Juneau, of course. And it's also the sort of art genre or the term in art that refers to the absurd, outrageous, just something that's completely takes an idea and turns it on its head for the purpose of fun.
Right, okay.
And spectacle. So
yeah.
We're putting those two together, and it's camp on camp.
That's going to be fantastic. Yeah, and Margot directs it, Margot Lundberg. And she's been doing it for a number of years now, Spencer. Do you know how long?
Yeah, I think perhaps seven.
Seven years. Wow. Because I know they used to do like a different director every year. But I like that there's consistency there and it can morph and change over time as opposed to reinventing the wheel every time, right? Which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And so for those who don't know, Stephanie, mm-hmm. can you describe what wearable art is?
It is an event. It is an immersive experience, I think. So you go in, it's Centennial Hall, dressed up to the nines. The theme is all over the place. There's a runway, and then there are people wearing fashionable items that they've created from sometimes found pieces, sometimes just fabric, whatever they want, and they're making art and they're wearing it, or their model is wearing it, and they're walking down the runway to music that fits their piece, which I think is really cool. Yeah, I like that piece a lot.
Now, you are listed to me as artist slash model. So yeah. Does this mean you created a piece as well as you're modeling for somebody else?
It's I created a piece and I'm modeling my own piece.
Oh, you're modeling your own piece. Okay, so tell me a little bit about your piece.
It's kind of reimagining a woman accused. So take that as you will. Women were accused of many things in the past, and some of those things involved, you know, punishment, and that's kind of where I'm going with it, but in a fun way. And if you don't like thinking about it like in that in depth, then just, you know, there's lots of rhinestones to look at, so either way.
So you can get easily distracted from the themes of witches or the Scarlet Letter or whatever.
You're on the right track.
I see. Okay. And then, so how did you come up with that idea? Was that inspired when you heard about this theme, or how did that happen for you?
Yeah, last year was my first year doing wearable art, and then they announced the theme that won, and I was only going to do it 1 year, but as soon as I heard it was camp, I had the thought in my head of what I wanted to do, and I couldn't get it out of my head, so I just had to do it. I thought of it the second that I heard camp, so I just had to see it through. It needed to be born.
And what materials? Did you use found materials, or what did you use?
I did. So I have a branch. I am using like a garden bucket. I am using pop tabs. I have a corset that I like tried to dye with coffee, and I thrifted a bunch of like napkins and curtains and things of that nature. And so that's kind of what I'm using as the fabric that I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
There's a lot going on.
And do you do did you pick music for the runway part? What is your song?
It's Take a Bow by Muse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's loud and clanky and, you know, it's energized.
I love that. Yeah. And how many years have you been participating in wearable art?
This is just my second.
Second year. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, congratulations on that. That's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And then so, Gigi, I'm imagining that you and Kelsey as the MCs might be dressing up in with some outdoor gear. Are you incorporating some outdoor gear into what you normally might be wearing?
Yes. We have an amazing costumer, Lucretia Wilson, this year. And together we've come up with some things that definitely have lots of different camp references. There's some scouting references. There are definitely some gear.
You gotta have some extra tufts.
We've got some props. There's a lot of hand props.
I mean, drag with extra tufts would be the way, right? Yeah.
That could be the way.
You'll have to come and find out.
Gigi says I'm not wearing extra tufts.
Right. That's in my contract.
That says no extra tufts.
I'll do a lot of things, but that's almost too far.
Right.
But yeah, we have a pretty tight script to introduce all the artists, but then Kelsey and I get to we wrote some bits ourselves and get to ad lib, and we're really excited about making those in between moments interactive with the audience and just really fun and silly.
Yeah, it's got to be silly. That's the whole point, right? Especially with that theme, I would assume. And so, Spencer, how many artists slash models do we have this year?
I believe we have around 16 different pieces on the runway. And so that's a smattering of I would say probably somewhere, but probably about half of the pieces are artists slash models.
I think so, yeah.
Around there. And then there are artists who have recruited models.
I see. Yeah. Some people want to make the art, but they don't want to wear it, right?
Yeah. And I like the attention, so I'm doing that.
You're like, I did this. Yeah. Look at me. And check out these rhinestones.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like that. That's so cool. Yeah. So tell me the details, Spencer. Like, when is it? How do I get tickets and all that?
Yeah. So, it's this Saturday and Sunday, February 14th and 15th. Saturday's at 8 p.m., doors at 7. Sunday at 3 p.m., doors at 2. And then there is an intermission. We're going to be doing a silent auction the whole time with some really fun prizes. And then we also have a raffle, your classic Juno raffle for two round-trip tickets on Alaska Airlines.
I was going to say, let me guess, but they're so nice to everyone. They are really nice. Yeah. Yeah. And with travel these days being so expensive, it's nice to have that as a prize for sure. Yeah. And then you have silent auction from a bunch of different local businesses donating stuff.
Yeah. The last time I checked, we had around 50 different auction items. So there's lots of different stuff to choose from. Definitely check that out.
I know that people in the past have bought tables, but you can also just buy individual tickets, right?
Yeah. So tickets start at $30 on Saturday night, and they start at $20 on Sunday for standing room. And so you can go from there all the way up to, like you said, buying a table right next to the runway. It's accessible for everyone, and there's, you know, and one of the things too is that we have it kind of set up in a way where, like, there isn't really a bad seat in the house. There's some screens and great camera angles that we're getting, so no matter where you are, if you're getting a drink at the bar, you're still going to be seeing all the action.
I see. So, okay. Yeah. That's excellent. And I did see, I think I just saw recently before I got on air, that you're doing on your Instagram, are you doing like a giveaway or something?
We are, yeah. You did see that right. So we're giving away two tickets, two table seats for the Sunday performance. So you can hop over to our Instagram and check out that giveaway.
What is the Instagram?
That's Juno_Arts_Council.
Juno_Arts_Council. Okay, yes. You should be following them anyway if you're not, right? And then for you two, Gigi, where can we follow you?
At Gigi Monroe. No, actually, it's at the Gigi Monroe, because there was another one.
Oh, no.
And you said, I'm the Gigi Monroe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you. Yep. Okay. And then Stephanie Davis, where can we follow you?
Oh, you can do Instagram at Steph with an F, phobic. Stephphobic.
Stephphobic.
Yeah.
I like that name. Where did you get that name?
I made it up when I was like 16, and it just stuck. Very edgy.
Edgy. Okay, like your piece.
Yeah, hey, there
right,
you go.
There you go. All in there. It's so cool. Well, this is awesome. It's the 2026 Wearable Art Extravaganza. The theme is camp! That comes from my musical theater world, where everything has to have an exclamation point. And it does, so that's kind of good. Outrageous, outdoorsy, out of this world. It's Saturday, February 14th at 8 o'clock, and Sunday, February 15th at 3 p.m. Of course, you can go to jahc.org, find information on that, as well as tomorrow night's concert, all ages metal concert at the Juno Arts and Culture Center, featuring Pauses from Portland, Ocean View, and Bards of Men in Hell. You can find information there. And then also Motown, which is next Friday the 20th, as well as some other gospel workshops that are happening. So always so many things happening with the Jack.
Jam-packed.
Filling up this town with all kinds of goodness. Thank you so much, Gunath Cheesh, for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Boston.
Yeah, Gunath Cheesh. Have Thanks. A good one.
See you this weekend.
Yeah, see you this weekend. Do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Local stories, local people, local connections. On tomorrow's show, KIN Support Program's upcoming Positive Indigenous Parenting Series. Theater at Latitude 58 previews their production of Camelot. And the Marie Drake Planetarium and Juno Nordic Ski Club is having a planet ski over the next week. We'll learn more about that tomorrow. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Ok Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. You can find the show online at ktoo.org/Juno Afternoon. You can also find live stream archives on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agents. Support comes from Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Tongass Federal Credit Union. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher. Gonna cheese.